Wow, that was fantastic. Well, I actually feel like you got even like the phonetic pronunciation of that correct as well.
I've seen enough Lion King, either VHS, Broadway, things like that, to screw it up only marginally.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, it's not the right words, but it's enough that from a distance with your ears covered.
You know what they're saying, you know what the guy's singing.
Yeah, well, you know what it's from, you know that kind of stuff. And that's what we're talking about today is the Lion King.
Yeah, welcome to Pop Culture Problems. Yeah, I'm John Oderman.
I'm Josh Nichols.
The melodious sound bird is Josh Nichols.
Melodious sound bird.
Yes.
Zazu,
okay. Yes.
Well, okay, this is a side note, a tangent already. Before we even get into The Lion King, which we're going to be analyzing the truth about The Lion King and kind of digging in a little deeper than most people do, but what do you feel about these new live-action movies, like with voice work and actors like the genie being played by Will Smith, or, you know, having Scar not be played by Jeremy Irons or voiced by Jeremy Irons? You know?
See, like that one is particularly galling to me. Okay. Like the Will Smith one doesn't really bother me because Robin Williams isn't around anymore.
Well, yeah,
but Jeremy Irons is still around.
Yeah.
And he's not voicing Scar.
Timon and Pumbaa, like it's not.
Yeah.
Going to be Nathan Lane.
Ridiculous.
The Ernie somebody.
Now, why didn't they do that?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal was, but I don't know if they're just trying to do for a new generation, or maybe the other people declined. Like, you might think, like, oh, well, why doesn't the new Jurassic World have all of the old characters? Well, maybe they just didn't want to do it.
Well, that and that's a little bit more like reasonable than.
I'm on the same page as you.
I hadn't even thought of this, and now it's like it's going to ruin my day.
Well, we just switched episodes. Now we're going to just be talking about how much we hate the change. So today we're talking about Lion King. And particularly talking about Lion King from the stance of what's really going on in the Lion King. I think a lot of people think, oh, it's this fun-loving movie, and it's a story of, you know, youth and a journey into adulthood, just all this stuff. But is it really?
And the release date was, the year was like 94, right?
Something like that.
90, you know, I remember, and there's like a lot of like really dark stuff in The Lion King that isn't in other Disney movies.
Well, and I think we may have mentioned this on a previous episode. I think, I think we should keep this in mind for this episode. One thing, it's animals. So I think there's a level of acceptance. One, you have Lion King, which anything goes because it's animated animals.
Yeah.
Then you have other animated Disney films, and it's like, okay, well, it's animated. I know they're humans, but it's animated. And then there's like live action real people, and like you have to be careful,
yeah,
you know, especially with a kids movie.
Yeah.
And so if you look at like, you know, there's some Disney movies like with evil queens who are being manipulative.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily ravagely murdering in a wildebeest run or something. Like
or that. Having their army of hyenas goose stepping.
Yeah, it's not, but they're still animated. So it's like, okay, you can be malicious. But in a movie, in a live action movie, if it was a children's movie, if somebody is that malicious, I think that they would be treated a little differently. So I think as we stumble through today's episode, we should consider, what if The Lion King was a live action movie?
Or
the real people.
Or not necessarily even like real people. You could just like anthropomorphize the animals. Like if they're walking around on like, if they're a bipedal, like think about like the Robin Hood, like the Disney Robin Hood.
Yep.
With like the fox and stuff like that. I feel like if even those guys were doing the same thing that they were doing in The Lion King, it would be bad news.
Yeah, well, but less bad news if it was humans, I think.
It's, yeah, sure.
It's
kind of between those two. Yeah.
So we have four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think maybe we can look at it through that lens at times. Like, you know, Scar is an example. I think he's a fun enemy. I think he's a fun
villain. He's top. I think he's top five Disney villain of all time. Yeah,
yeah, he's great. But he does kind of create this subservient culture of women and kidnap a bird and keep him hostage. Like, there's a lot of bad stuff there.
Yeah.
But we're like, meh, whatever. But if it was Jeremy Irons, the actor, just playing a man who...
Yeah.
You know, was holding people kidnap in his room and making them sing for him and, you know, verbally accosting women and making them go get food and make him dinner.
get in the kitchen and make me some cornbread.
But, with a very high probability of assault having taken place. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's just not, it's not good. So anyway, that is kind of the premise of today's episode. So, John, if you could pinpoint, I mean, just try to think of the Lion King, because it's probably been a while since both of us have seen it. What would you say is the most offensive
thing? I actually watched it last week.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay. See, I yeah. I just,
no, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I walked in and my wife was watching it.
Yeah. Okay.
And the most offensive thing?
Yeah.
The thing, I don't know if there's like anything that like really stands out as like, geez, that's really offensive, but I really don't like the fact that people look at Simba as like this great victim of Scar's plot.
Yeah, correct.
Because had it not been for Simba, Mufasa would still be here.
Well, yes and no. Because I think that perhaps Scar would have come up with alternate mechanisms of killing. And I would say if I could pick the most offensive thing, I think it would be the brutal murder of one's brother.
Yeah, okay,
so,
sure,
you're like, nothing sticks out. I'm calling your brother, by the way. Just, I'm going to call your family and be like, so John, it just, he doesn't have any problems with vengeful murder.
Yeah.
But no, Simba.
What do they call that? It's fratricide?
I see, I've not researched it as thoroughly as you have, apparently. So I don't know for sure. I agree with you, though. Simba just got away with a lot of stuff. There was a lot of things that he did that I thought he was, one, spoiled.
Fratricide, the killing of one's brother or sister. Person who killed, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, sorry.
You're going to see that in the headlines, Oderman fratricide, pop culture problems.
Pop culture problems?
So, first of all, he's spoiled.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just spoiled, rotten, entitled little jerk. That's Simba.
Is he really spoiled, though? Because I feel like Mufasa kind of tries to pull him back a little bit. I think he's just a little entitled.
Yeah, he's a bit entitled, but his mom...
I'm the son of the king.
...spoils him a little bit, and likely other members of the kingdom, per se...
Yeah, true.
...would also probably spoil him, because he's the king's son. I'm sure that Zazu is overprotective and doesn't necessarily let him get away with stuff, but I'm sure he's got a lot of perks.
Yeah.
Being the king's son, just by nature of having that. And so I feel like he's a little spoiled. And that entitledness, I think, is maybe a better word. Just because he, I'm going to run off and sing songs with hippos.
I'm going to go to the one place my dad told me never to go.
Yeah, the one place. I mean, you give one rule. Just one rule, and the kid wants to hit that red button.
Yeah.
They just want to press it.
Yeah.
And that kind of happens throughout the whole movie. Even with, like, little things. Like, he lies. Like, well, where are you going to be going? Oh, we're just going to the watering hole. Like, no, you have other plans, you maniacal little jerk.
He's very, very manipulative even of, like, Nala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he gets her interested in the elephant graveyard. He talks her into it. I mean, he's like the great, like, corrupter.
He's the great corrupter. He is just evil. Pure evil. So Simba's childhood is a little shady, I would say. But I don't know that...
He actually seems to, like, kind of get along with Scar. Like, everybody else is kind of a little bit wary of Scar. And they're like, oh, Uncle Scar. You know, he like, isn't, like, really that intimidated by him. And, yeah.
And that's raises a point. One, is he not manipulated by him or not intimidated by him because evil knows evil? Or is he not intimidated by him because Scar actually isn't intimidating? Like, he's a pushover. He's a monkey's uncle. You know, he's just a good old guy. And Simba is the one manipulating and forcing him to do things that he would otherwise not do. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, well, and you could really go really deep and dark into this and say that this whole thing was like some big maniacal Machiavellian play by Simba to where, like, you know, okay, I'm going to let Scar kill my dad, take over the kingdom for a couple years, I'm going to come back, I'm going to knock him off, and anybody's going to seem better than Scar after years and years of torment and torture.
That's true.
So I'll be able to just run this place however I want, and nobody's going to be able to question it because I'm going to be able to, like, remember Scar?
Yeah,
he killed our king. I'm the one that saved you.
Well, also, people didn't really care for Scar. So, you know, like, in general, he was kind of the outcast brother. And so after that life of being outcast, and then having Simba come over and visit and rub your nose, and the fact that he is going to be king one day, you know, and those types of things, like, Simba was the rightful king.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to go to Scar, it's going to go to Mufasa's son. So, I think maybe he just kept going over there on a daily basis to be like, oh, I can't wait to be king.
And he probably purposely walked in front of Scar with his tail up in the air. And
just little things like, and Scar, like, again, after that emotional abuse on a day-to-day basis, I think maybe he just
snapped.
Just snapped. And is that Simba's fault that he snapped? No, not necessarily. Yes. I mean, well, you make your own choices as a human or a lion, but he sure is a contributing factor. He was aiding in that crime.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, and we kind of went down a real deep dark hole there with Simba and like the potential for
like the deep dark hole that is his soul.
Yeah, well, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's just an innocent little cub up to that point. Let's just give him benefit of the doubt.
He's not waking up Mufasa, breathing heavy, staring into his eyes with a knife. He's not that creepy.
Yeah, you know, no. But I mean, he did definitely like, it was not like an innocent player in all of this. Let's get real here. I mean, he did exactly what you said he did. He went over, he's rubbing it in Scar's face, and so, but that could all have been forgiven. Could have all been forgiven if he had just stuck around.
Yeah, because he had one rule and one job. Don't go to this ancient burial ground that was, you know, inhabited by the hyenas. Then he decided that his one job, which was to be king after Mufasa
basically,
was gone.
To outlive his father. That was his one
job. That was his one job.
Do
and
your
he
job.
He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go live with vagrants. What would you even call Timon and Pumbaa? They're
grifters?
Yeah, they're just kind of, I'm sure, they kind of do shady stuff. I could see them being like con artists.
Yeah.
I could see them manipulating people out of money and food and just all sorts of stuff. And that's who he then gravitates to and decides, like, if you were, you teach your kids stranger danger, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You need to be careful who you hang out with. Don't get into that van with the man handing out candy, you know? And he sees these two and he's just like, sweet. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Seems like my kind of people. So it kind of shows his deep
see,
nature.
And you really think about it, though. Like, that is really who they are. They're, I mean, the Hakuna Matata means no worries. How did he turn into what he turned into? I feel like he would have been like he would look like us, like grossly obese type lion guy. Because, I mean, they're just hanging out all day. They're just doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And that's another thing, is Timon and Pumbaa, by all accounts, seemed like they were part of the kingdom. Why were they kind of on the outskirts? Like, were they kicked out of the kingdom? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we have no backstory on them, and we don't know. Maybe Simba ended up with his own kind.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. I think he gravitated towards people who were just like-minded. I mean, he thought, okay, this is gonna happen. And that
I don't like rules, you know? Yeah.
I also think that he took advantage of Timon and Pumbaa because he knew that he needed protection in that moment from all the elements because he was small. But he knew he was going to be bigger and able to overpower them in the future. So he was kind of looking to the future saying, I'm going to be at a place where I will then be able to control them. And they were kind of his, I mean, look, when him and Nala were around, and didn't he like tell them like to leave? Like,
yeah.
Come on, get out of here. And they're like, oh, yes, Simba, we'll go. Because they didn't want him to eat him.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being threatened every day to be eaten.
Well, and that's another level of this, is like, of his really kind of malicious streak, nefarious streak, is like, these guys helped him survive. Uh-huh. He was starving to death when they found him. And they taught him the ways of the woods or whatever, the jungle. ways of the woods or the jungle. I like the ways of the woods better than the ways of the jungle. But like,
we'll teach you the way of the woods.
And they taught him how to survive. And up to the point where, like, he was able to overpower him, he could have taken both of them on at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And then, yeah. So was that part of his calculus there, too? Was, hey, you know what? I might need these guys now. But there's going to come a day when they're going to need me, and they're going to be afraid of me.
The only thing, John, that is more evil than Simba is our outward perception, according to everybody in the planet, after they hear this episode. They're going to think we're the worst.
They really are.
We're just tearing apart this classic Disney movie and thinking the worst. Okay, so Edge, we've got Deviant Simba. That may or may not have been bad, but you know, he had some issues. He was a little bit delinquent. He was a trouble causer in class.
A really good question to ask here, though, is Simba survives a stampede. He decides to stick around. He survives. He's able to evade Scar, and ends up taking the throne. Would things have been better?
Well, I think when you look throughout history at any young king, you know, basically toddler to 16-year-old, it just seems like that's a little bit of a formula for trouble, unless there is a good woman behind the man kind of situation.
Yeah,
I think his mother would have ruled the kingdom, which probably would have done a damn good job compared to Scar.
Mother probably would have ruled the kingdom, but I see this as like a Joffrey from King of Thrones type situation.
Well,
where his mom's trying,
yeah.
Simba doesn't want to listen to him. You know what? I'm going to cut Zazu's head off. He might be the hand of the king, but I'm going to cut his head off.
As Simba grows, I think he could usurp her kind of secondary power. Yes. But as Simba, I think she'd whoop him. She'd just be like, "Don't you talk to your mama that way?" Backhand him.
Yeah.
And I think, but as he grows and gets stronger and can overpower and manipulate more, I think, yeah, that could be an issue. But where we're at is he broke his one rule.
Yep.
He's the troublemaker in class. He decides to run off with a bunch of kind of
miscreants.
Yeah, just terrible, not good people. We don't even know the backstory of. I mean, they don't even have the rumors and lore in the kingdom about how these two left, because it's probably so bad. It's whatever. And
we don't even know if they're really a meerkat and a warthog. Those could just be costumes. Okay. That's a step too far. I'm sorry.
They're humans in meerkat clothing. What? Oh, jeez. It's like the Pepe Le Pew, like the cat with the stripe on the back.
Yeah,
jeez. You're the worst, but the best. So now he's growing up and just living this carefree, slacker lifestyle. I mean, just not doing anything significant until his hormones and lust takes over.
Yep.
And Nala returns. When Nala returns, which is the only female lion he has seen since he was a little boy, he's like, "I'm horny." Going back to the kingdom.
Yeah, I'm leaving this all behind.
And that would have been more noble, but he's like, "I think I'll just try to get some in the woods."
Yeah.
And I don't think he would have been there in the morning. I think he'd kind of be the one that's like, "What kind of pancakes do you want in the morning?" And then they go
Hakuna
hungry.
Matata.
Hakuna
Matata.
Yeah. So I think he only went back because she was playing hard to get. He was like, "Jeez, I guess I got to go back and save the kingdom." Boy, oh boy.
Well, but here's another thing about the kingdom is they were on the periphery. And because Nala went out looking for food, right? Because they were out of food in the kingdom. So they were either like on the edge of the kingdom or right outside the periphery of the kingdom. There's no way things go to crap that badly at your next door neighbor's house and you not know it.
They should have been just a little bit. We don't know how far away they were. And they're like off the grid. So I can defend that in a way. I mean, you know, unless Timon is a human in meerkat's clothing and has a secret cell phone, I doubt he's hearing a lot of gossip. and he doesn't have the daily report from Zazu. Like, I think he might be just a little disconnected, but sure, you might should have known some of that stuff.
Okay, so he goes back.
Goes back.
And he basically takes on the Nazi army.
Well, it kind of looks that from a distance, but I think he goes back for vengefulness and murder. And I think he puts it under the guise of, you can leave, but, you know, go away and leave and never return. Do you really think he's just going to let Scar walk off into the sunset?
No way.
I think he would have sent somebody after him.
Yeah.
I think he would have had him taken care of. And he's a lot bigger, and he's going to be in control. And I think he would have took care of him. Scar, after being beat up and battered and emotionally and physically abused his whole life, decided, I'm just going to fight back for what I believe in. Now,
here's a good question here. Is, do we know, is Simba the Simba that we know from the beginning of the movie? Or was he another lion that took advantage of this young cub in the wilderness? I mean, how do they know it's Simba?
Oh, okay. Well,
how do they know it's Simba?
I can see how they are like, how do they know?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we know. Like,
sure, sure.
I thought you were alluding to, like,
sorry.
What, it's not really
the royal. I was thinking the royal we. But like Simba just comes back and everybody's like, oh, Simba's back. He's alive.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we know it's Simba?
Yeah, you just don't
could have just been like some lone lion that like lived in some.
Does he release a musk?
I don't.
They're like,
I'm sure. I mean, that's probably the biological explanation for it, is that his mother knows the scent and stuff.
To
but
them being humans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you put that. Well, you put the. That's the really interesting thing about The Lion King, is if you put it into a human context, it is a very like.
Terrible.
Historically accurate, no, but like Scar killing his nephew and his brother for the throne, that was something that people were actually afraid of in medieval times.
Yeah.
Because it went through succession lines and things like that. And back then, they didn't have photography. They didn't have DNA testing and stuff like that. So, like, if somebody went away and then came back claiming that they were, and then they kind of took advantage of people's hopes and things were really terrible, and you've got like this great white hope that comes out of nowhere and says, hey, I'm this long lost son of your king that was killed. I'm here to regain control of the kingdom and bring it back to greatness.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, it's a real like Shakespearean drama that Lion King is. And so think about that. Like if the Simba in the movie, how do they know it's actually Simba?
That's true. It is
Nala.
True.
I mean,
it's true.
Maybe Simba just kind of seduces Nala in the woods, and then she's like, "Oh yeah, I really like this guy. I'm going to take him back." Oh, he says he's Simba.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. It's a spin on it.
Yeah.
One question I have before we get into continued devious nature of Simba is: was Scar really all that bad? Because we talked about, you know, how he maybe got to this point to making some bad decisions. We don't know how Mufasa treated him. Mufasa might have threatened his life on several occasions. We have no clue.
There's some necessary backstory here.
There's just nothing we have.
And how do we know that Mufasa was really the oldest?
Well, exactly. We have no idea.
We have no background on the lineage.
Scar sure looked older.
Yeah, he did. It definitely did. I mean, maybe it was a situation where Mufasa's dad was like, hey, Mufasa. You're my favorite. You're going to get the throne after I die. Maybe Scar was really kind of the jilted son here.
So after Simba leaves.
Simba.
After Simba leaves and runs away from his duty, Scar says, okay, I'm going to have to step in here and I'm going to have to take this over. And when we come back to the kingdom, we come back to Pride Rock, we see Scar with his hyena minions, who have really been his only friends. I mean, why wouldn't you allow them in your kingdom? He wants peace, not war. And he has Zazu in a cage. Now, is that a cage for holding someone kidnapped?
Or to keep
him
safe.
Or is that a prison? Is that, did Zazu, as an informant, who is knowledgeable of the whole kingdom, who's like the, you know, I picture Game of Thrones-esque. He's like a Littlefinger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has a little bird.
Yeah,
yeah. Somewhere around.
Yeah.
Do you think he was throwing some sort of a coup or working with other prides to try to take over Pride Rock?
See, I see where you're going there, but I think that's more of the, is his name Rafiki?
Yes.
The monkey?
Yeah,
I think that's more of his game.
Yeah, well, but he could have been working with Zazu.
Yeah.
And Zazu is in person.
Yeah, so it's like a Varus little finger. Yeah.
Yeah, so Zazu is in captivity. But we don't know why. We just assume the Scar is doing it.
Maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he got captured on purpose so he could inform on the inner workings of Scar's throne room.
Yeah, that's true. And so things can happen. And then just what else do we see? We see that Scar is asking the other lions to go out and gather food.
Help feed the kingdom.
Help feed the kingdom. He can't do it all himself. I mean, he even, for our purposes, may even seem older than Mufasa was. He's older.
Yeah.
So he can't just be going out and doing stuff. Let's help feed the kingdom. And I just don't know if he was actually bad in that situation. We don't know. And Simba comes back and kills Scar, or puts him in a situation where he is killed. And
for all intents and purposes, during this time period, time of peace.
And the hyenas,
as far as we know.
Yeah, the hyenas take Scar's life, but it seems like Simba could have been telling them lies in order for them to be in that situation. And those individuals, I kind of see like individuals that were in some sort of like rehabilitation. You know, maybe they had a rough track in prison or with drugs or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were kind of coming back into the fold of sorts.
Yeah.
Scar was taking care of them. And then Simba kind of throws a wrench in it. And then with a single transition, with just a very subtle transition in the movie, everything goes from gray to lush green. And what's the first thing we see? Oh, Nala was knocked up.
Yeah.
And now we have a Kiara.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, he didn't waste any time.
Yeah.
He did not waste any time. How long does it take for grass to grow?
Not long if you get some rain.
Not long if you get rain.
Yeah.
And a baby was there.
Well, and didn't it start raining like right after Scar died?
Yeah. I mean, it was just, yeah. So here's the thing.
So is there some kind of mystical Simba power at work here? Is he like stringing some kind of spell along this whole time and actually
now we have
choking
magic,
these people out?
Now we have magic lions. And meerkats and warthogs in disguise. It's a magical world you live in.
Wasn't there a cloud Mufasa that talked to him?
Yeah.
Or star Mufasa?
So was he hallucinating? I think maybe he was doing drugs.
Maybe the whole thing is a hallucination.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you eat bugs to survive if you're woods people, like you put it.
Yeah.
You might also eat mushrooms.
Yeah, true.
That could be he was maybe just hallucinating, or maybe he's got some, you know, chemical imbalances he needs medicated for.
What if everything from when he is dying of thirst in the desert forward is just a fever dream at the end of Simba's life?
It could be. John,
And they're still, and the lions are all living under the iron thumb of Scar. Or
living in peace.
Or living in peace and harmony with hyenas.
His fever dream might have put Scar in a bad place.
They're living in a utopia.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, like.
Maybe that's Simba's final and ultimate trick.
Yeah,
convincing Disney to make that movie and convince us that Scar
was
evil all along.
You're such a schmuck. But the love is strong. So, I'm thinking, given the rain, giving the lush nature, and giving the birth of their new child, that, like, I think as he was pushing Scar off the cliff, as he like, rotated him over, he was like, Nala, get in the cave, it's naughty time. Like, that had to happen at the same time. I mean, it had to, timing-wise, like, order to have that kid, so it just...
Yeah.
It had to happen at the same time.
Well, you know what, though? I really think that there's a good... There's probably a pretty decent gestation period there. Because, I mean, things look pretty grim there when Simba showed back up in the kingdom.
Okay.
And at the end of the movie, things are pretty lush. The animal kingdom seems like it's been replenished population-wise. Timon and Pumbaa have been able to set up shop and be able to grift the animals throughout the kingdom and they're probably living a very lush lifestyle set up by their kingly friend. and probably laundering money through the kingdom and things like that. But I do think it probably took a while there.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I kind of, because a lot of times, like, you know, with forest services and stuff, they'll burn down forests in order to so they grow back more lush and full and things. I just don't think it takes that long.
No, but I mean, for the population of the kingdom to rebound, it would.
Well, maybe.
Unless they were all in hiding.
Well.
Or in concentration camps.
Simba? Yeah. Simba left. Good point. I mean, other people can leave. And I'm just going to throw another wrench into how quick this is, that a lion's pregnancy cycle is 110 days. It's about three and a half months.
That's not long at all.
No. Wow,
geez.
So,
I thought it was longer than that.
No. So it wasn't even like, it just, he was, let's go. That's it. Get him and go.
Yeah, and by doing that, if going back to the medieval thing, having that heir really kind of solidifies your position on the throne.
Yep. And I believe that he immediately had other children because the first one was a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And that didn't sit well with him.
And I actually think
it just doesn't...
the Lion Guard, because there's that new cartoon where it's the Lion Guard, it's his son, he has a son.
Mm-hmm.
So is his son following in his father's footsteps and his grandfather's footsteps?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know anything about his sister.
We have no idea. We have no idea.
He probably killed her.
You know,
we're
going
to go dark.
Think,
we're going to go dark.
I think we could do a part two to this because I have questions about Mufasa. You know, was he all that good or not? We talked about age and all that stuff. Was he just a good person? What can we tell by the interactions of Zazu and the hyenas? What was this hyena-lion war that happened before? You know?
It doesn't matter if Mufasa is a good person. What matters is if he's a good king. And I think there's some evidence to the contrary that he might not have been.
Well, John, we might have to tackle this in part two.
Maybe.
Simba is an evil tyrant with a bloodlust and physical lust for the worst.
Anything.
He just doesn't even care. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.
Don't hate us.
Don't hate us. Send us your hate mail with XOs at the bottom because we're not that bad people. We'll see you next time on Pop Culture Problems.